Paul, an emissary of Jesus the Anointed, serving at God's pleasure, along with our brother Timothy, to you, dear and holy faithful brothers and sisters in the family of the Anointed who live in Colossae. May grace and peace from God our Father envelope you. As always, we've been praying for you, thanking God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, ever since we heard your faith in Jesus and your love for his holy ones. A faith and love that emerge from the hope you have heard about the word of truth, the gospel, the very hope that awaits you in heaven. The same gospel that was brought to you is growing and bearing fruit all over the world, just as it has been growing among you since the day you heard and took in the truth of God's grace from our beloved fellow servant, Epaphras. He was the one who told us how you demonstrate your love in the power of the Spirit. Since the day we got this good news about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We ask, Father, may they clearly know your will and achieve the height and depth of spiritual wisdom and understanding. May their lives be a credit to you, Lord. And what's more, may they continue to delight you by doing every good work and growing in the true knowledge that comes from being close to you. Strengthen them with your infinite power, according to your glorious might, so that they will have everything they need to hold on and endure hardship patiently and joyfully. Thank you, Father, as you made us eligible to receive our portion of the inheritance given to all those set apart by the light. You have rescued us from the dark powers and brought us safely to the kingdom of your Son, whom you love and in whom we are redeemed and forgiven of our sins through his blood. What a great prayer to start this letter. Kind of somewhat out of character, but yet still kind of Paul-like. And wanting to have the origin of this letter grounded in the audience's past, present, and future salvation in Jesus Christ. A letter written to encourage them to hold fast in hope of Christ Jesus, even in the difficult times. Rest in the promise that your identity is in Jesus Christ, that you are a child of God. This mantle of prayer envelopes this letter. Even when trouble arises, stay strong. Your hope is laid out for you. And that hope is the gospel of truth in Jesus Christ, that love in the Spirit, that enduring with patience, that taking time to thank God for all that God has done. All this guidance and encouragement coming from this letter. It's amazing how Paul is praying over his people. And as we heard in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus considers prayer to be pretty important as well. Jesus' entire ministry is also enveloped in prayer. He spends much time alone and in groups communicating with his Father. As Jesus wrapped his ministry in this prayer, he reveals to us a little bit about God, showing us his interaction and his relationship, even to the point of teaching this prayer. What is that prayer that we heard at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke? The Lord's Prayer. I would bet most of us in this room know that prayer. If not, we're starting to learn it. And what that means and why we say it. Jesus actually gave us some words. So thinking about Paul and Jesus and prayer, I got to thinking, who taught you or me about prayer? Who taught you what is so important about prayer, why it is a part of our Christian faith? For me, it was my grandma. Grandma was my blessing in life. My family, we were always churchgoers. We were there every Sunday. We were doing what we thought was right with church. We would teach Sunday school. We would be in worship. We would acolyte. We would usher. We might read the scripture, whatever it is that we're supposed to do. But when we get home, we never talked about it. We never prayed. We never talked about why we even go to church. We just knew that Sunday morning, our tushies needed to be in that pew, no matter what happened on Saturday night. So my grandma was the first one. Anytime we would go to her house, we knew that before we would eat, it was time to sit and pray. And it would always be, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest," and whatever version that might take in her household. But I will never forget when I was really little, we would have sleepovers with my cousin out on the farm with my grandparents. And one night, I snuck downstairs and into Grandma and Grandpa's room. It was a farm. It was creepy. So I was scared. And so I remember going in there, and I could see Grandpa laying there, and he was sawing logs. I mean, wow, he snores. But Grandma was just laying there so peacefully, so I kind of snuck in, and I knelt by the bed on her side. And then suddenly she opened her eyes, and she said, "Amen." I said, "Grandma, what are you doing?" And that's when the teaching of prayer began. She began to teach me that this prayer is a conversation that she has with God, that she trusts and knows that God is listening and responding in some way, shape, or form. Later in life, as we continued our journey of understanding prayer, she started talking about it being this relationship where you get to learn about the other person in this relationship, where she wanted to share company with someone that she trusted and loved and knew was listening. Someone has taught you about prayer or is continually teaching you what it means to pray and why it's so important. I started asking some questions this week, asking people what they think about prayer. And these are some of the answers that I got. That you have to have the right words and you have to sit the right way in order to pray. They think if you have all the proper words, all of it will work out. That they've observed that the harder and that the more you pray, the more you will get what you want. One person even said it's like a vending machine, that you put in the right stuff and you get out the result. One person said it seems that if you pray louder and get louder as you're praying and talk more and have more words, you certainly will get what you want, right? Several people told me that it is worthless to even pray, because they've prayed for something, they didn't get what they wanted, so obviously God is not listening. Wow, we really beat ourselves up, don't we? We beat ourselves up and think that we have to have it right in order to pray, that we have to understand what's going on in order to pray. We beat ourselves up to the point where we make ourselves uncomfortable with prayer. Almost everyone I talked to this week all said, "I cannot pray out loud. That's what the pastor is for." No, not really. Just putting that out there. But I can't pray out loud. I can hardly even pray in private. I can maybe pray something if it's written down, or I can say a table grace, but I'm just not comfortable with it. I just don't get it. Well, I'm going to tell you a secret. The truth and the reality is, none of us know exactly how to pray. None of us. But we have to start somewhere. Prayer is a mystery, I think. I think it's a mystery for us to be a part of. I asked people, "What is prayer?" And people said things like, "The everyday, every moment conversation while I'm walking or doing dishes or driving around or doing what my mom has told me to do." It's that everyday conversation. It's the release of stuff, getting it off your chest. It's what happens when I lay down to go to sleep. I go through my inventory and I just fall asleep. It's a list of people and circumstances that I just name off. One person said, "It's like breathing. You don't just think about it, do you? It's just constant. Breathing just happens. I'm hoping you're breathing at this moment. It's a way to approach God. It's a lifestyle. It attunes us to the action of God in our lives, offering our hopes and our dreams. It's imagining God as an actor in our lives. One person was telling me about an author who said that prayer is like pressing the space bar. Taking that quiet moment, that space, to be in conversation. One person said it's like riding in a car with a spouse. Now, I don't have a spouse, but when my parents were in a car, they fought. I'm telling you. But this person said it's like riding in a car with a spouse, that you have said all that needs to be said, and you just sit, because there's nothing else to say. It's that presence, just being present. Somebody said that it's like spending time with a good friend who really understands you, and then you just cannot get enough of it. Prayer. You don't have to understand it in order to pray. You just have to kind of step aside or step outside your comfort zone and begin the conversation. Paul covers this community in prayer. He's kind of like praying through the newspaper about what is going on in Colossae with these folks, preparing them for what is to come. And then Jesus is teaching us the old faithful prayer, the Lord's Prayer, which can teach us how to pray. I read a blog this week that had three things it said about the Lord's Prayer that are important when it comes to our prayer life. Number one is that it's simple. It's the basics in life. It's sustenance, daily bread, relationship, and forgiveness. It's safety, bringing us through the hard times, reminding us that prayer is not complex. It's the basics, simple. And that prayer is honest, that you don't have to have the right words. You don't have to sound eloquent. You just have to speak from here. You just have to speak whatever is in your heart. Now, here's the hard one, is that prayer is based in trust. You have to actually trust that God is listening. That you continue to pray in that trust and hope even when you are not getting the response that you hope. But you continue that conversation. You continue that relationship. That simple, honest trust. My grandma continues to teach me about prayer every time I talk to her. She sends me a lot of emails, and she's kind of like Paul in my life. She starts her emails with a prayer, she ends it with a prayer, and then in the middle she tells me what I need to do, or who I forgot to call, or whatever it might be. But it's always in that mantle of prayer. And when I talk to her about that, she says, well, prayer is something that has changed her life. That it has taken her years to come to know and grow into, that it's not these instant responses, but that it is just this clarity that happens throughout her life, that prayer has reshaped her life and changed her into someone else completely. Now, who doesn't want to get on board with that? Who doesn't want a life that is changed in some way, shape, or form? How might prayer be able to work in our lives? To change us, simple, honest, and trustworthy. But where do you begin? I would bet some in this room are going, yeah, I understand prayer. I know how it works. I got it down. Great. Could you come and teach me? Might there be an opportunity for you to share with someone across the room what you've learned from prayer, someone right next to you, how prayer has changed your life? If you don't know where to start, maybe you're confused. Maybe you don't know what to say. Maybe we start like the kids started this morning, and we draw or write a picture of what we're thankful for. You actually have space to do that on the back of your insert. We have pencils if you need them. Look, the usher's even standing there ready to help you. I encourage you to begin somewhere. for me, it helps to write it down, just to start somewhere and see what happens and how God has changed your life along the way. There was a book that was shared with me by a colleague this week called Answered Prayers by Julia Cameron, Love Letters from the Divine. This author wrote what she would imagine God is answering when we pray something. So here is God's response as you are thinking about where to go from here in your prayer life. Think and ponder on this. You long for a more spiritual life, but you tell yourself that it's too difficult. You pretend I am distant and hard to reach. You pretend I make harsh terms with you. Stop your pretending. Do not believe in God as told you by the authorities. Come to me on your terms instead. Simply say hello, and our conversation can begin. I want to walk with you as friends. I want us to be casual and intimate. I want us to share secrets. I will begin with a secret of mine. I love you. I have loved you since the beginning of time. I've always seen myself as coming to join you. I am ready to listen to your heart. Please begin to talk with me. You can start anywhere, with your joys and or with your sorrows. I have ears for every part of you. You say you do not know where to begin. I say to you, quit stalling. Start with good morning. And it is a good morning any day that you make contact with me. Ask me to shape your day, to touch your consciousness with recognition of possibility. All things are good and can be made anew. I am the water you long to drink. I am the food you hunger for. I am the full meal that nourishes and nurtures you. Let us break bread together.